Let's go to Ephesians. I was looking at Ephesians a while ago, the very first chapter. I thought I'd go over that some. We'll just scan through this first chapter of Ephesians. If you desire to, you can get the book that we wrote on Ephesians, and it will explain it much deeper than what I'm going to give you tonight. Beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Ephesus is a town in Greek. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That involves us. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When King James gave the command for this Bible, the original writings in the Greek, to be translated into English, and of course the English of that day was a little different from what it is today, the group of scholars that he chose to translate the Greek into English, they did not have a spiritual understanding. In other words, the veil was over their hearts. And so, for that reason, you have to read these scriptures with the revelation. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, not with, but in. He has blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And of course, places in my Bible is in italics. Is that so in yours too?
Yes, sir.
Well, when it's in italics, that means it's not in the original. It was added. So, from the Greek, it would read, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, you say, well, where are all these blessings? I don't seem to have them. Well, they're given. They're given as a provision. Everything that God has for us is given as a provision. So, how do I get a hold of that provision? You have to appropriate it. It's the appropriation of the provision. It just doesn't jump on you. And what causes the appropriation? The want to, just like we were talking about a while ago. That veil is removed when the heart turns to the Lord. It's the same thing here. All spiritual blessings have been turn loose for us, but they have to be appropriated, and that's done with the heart. Verse 4. And verse 4, you have to think about this one. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, what in the world does that mean? He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Before this world was ever created, he knew you and chose you. Is that what it's saying? That's exactly what it sounds like, isn't it? Or some say, well, we weren't there then, so he just knew that one day we would be born. But I think in some strange way we were with him even before this world was created. That's my thoughts on it. That we should be holy.
I don't feel like I'm there yet.
Thing of it is, when you come into this world, you're human. And because you're human, you got some real big problems. You know what those problems are. You know, man, I know what I've been. And God knows what we've been too. But thing of it is, He has a way of seeing you in a new light, but you keep thinking about what you have been. And it's hard to get beyond that.
It says, be holy and without blame before him in love. Uh-huh. We can't do that. it is His holiness, His joy, His love. Everything comes from Him. We have nothing. But if we humble ourselves before Him and ask Him, then those things will come to us little by little. But we have to have that want to.
I agree. Five, having predestinated us unto, should be into, having predestinated us into the adoption of children. Now, there are three different Greek words for children. One Greek word is for a little baby. The second Greek word is for an adolescent. And the third Greek word is a word for full-grown son. That's what you have in verse 5. He has predestinated us into the adoption of sons. Now, we think of sons as any boy child that is born, that he's the son. But in biblical days, they didn't think that way. He didn't become what they call a son until he became of age and he became like his father. That's what a son was to them. So the Greek word there for adoption of children is huiothesia, huiothesia, and it means the placing of sons. So we have been predestined to become sons, full grown. Flip over to Hebrews 2:10 real quick and read that.
For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
He's bringing many sons unto glory. And that would be that same Greek word, huios, H-U-I-O-S. And he doesn't want us to remain babies. He wants us to grow up into maturity and to become as he is. And we have that opportunity. Alright, so he has predestined us into the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, grab a hold of that one. He has made you accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, is what God said. And we're made accepted. Whatever you think you are, whatever your problems that you think you have been accepted in the beloved. Accept that. Alright. Now 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. It's talking about Christ. Christ shed his blood for our redemption, for our forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8. Wherein he has abounded toward us. That's not a good word. He has abounded into us in all wisdom and prudence. Wherever you think you are, you're doing better than you know. And it's difficult to grasp that and to really function in the Lord like you should when you're so much aware of the badness of your flesh nature.
Yeah.
All right, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. His will for your life is a mystery, and it has to be revealed to you. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Now, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. The Greek word for times there is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, and it means seasons. Now, we're familiar with the four seasons of spring, summer, fall, winter. But Just as there are natural seasons like that, there's also spiritual seasons. And in the dispensation of the fullness of seasons, there are many seasons that we go through every year. You go through four seasons. Well, spiritually, you go through one season, and you come out of that into another season, into another season, into another season, as you're progressing in the things of the Lord. And each time you move into a new season, there's new revelations, new understanding, deeper things that you learn. You understand? That in the dispensation of the fullness, see, there has to be a fullness of season. We just can't enter into one season and say, oh, I made it. And a lot of Christians do that. They repent of their sin. I'm a Christian now. I'm going to heaven. I'm ready to go. Well, no, they haven't been through all the seasons yet of becoming like He is. And as you read from Hebrews 2:10, He's interested in bringing many sons unto glory. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times or seasons, He might gather together in one. Christ becomes a many-membered body, but they're all one. We're becoming one. In one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even Him. Can you grab a hold of that? As we move on into God, we're becoming one. That's the reason Jesus said, somebody came to Him and said, your mother and your brother and sister's out here wanting to see you. And He said, who is my mother? Who is my brothers and my sisters? These are, pointing to His disciples, because they had given themselves to Him, see. They belonged to Him. We're becoming one family. And we're not going to be divided into Baptist, Pentecostals, and whatever else denomination there is. We're going to become one. One member in Christ. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You have an inheritance. God has an inheritance for you. You're going to inherit something, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The believing comes first. And after you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of Christians say, no, you don't have to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, you do. You do need to receive the Holy Spirit, because you're not sealed into the promise that He has for you, except through the Holy Spirit that you receive. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, your inheritance, if you buy some property, you usually have to put down a little money to show that you got a goodwill to buy it. That's called the earnest money. Well, there's also an earnest of our inheritance, into or until the redemption of the purchased possession, into the praise of His glory. So, there's an earnest in order to claim your inheritance in the Lord. Now, we're going to find another inheritance a little further down. 15, wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's as you increase in a knowledge of the Lord, that's when there's an increase of the spirit of wisdom and revelation that is given to you in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding are being enlightened. Now, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is talking about the understanding that comes through your spirit. I'm not talking about these eyes up here in your head, but the ability to see and to know with your spirit, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now I want to point out the two inheritances. In verse 14, it speaks of the inheritance that we are to receive. Okay? Verse 18 speaks of the inheritance that God wants to receive.
Right.
So, He is our inheritance, and we become His inheritance. 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? The Greek word for power there is dunamis. It's the same word that we get our word dynamite from. It's dynamite power. And we need that to blow up the old stumps in our lives.
Yeah.
Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality. Now, in Hebrews it speaks of this, how that He is in a place above all of the angels and so forth. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now I need to point out where it says not only in this world. The Greek word for world is aion, and it means age. It's not talking about the world as we know it. But there are many ages that take place. But also in that which is to come, and the Greek reads, but also in the coming. There is an age that we're in, and there's another age that is coming. 22 and 23. And hath put all things under His feet. Now listen, if Christ becomes many members, and all things are put under His feet, where are your feet? These things are going to be placed under our feet too, right? Because we're going to become one with Christ. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. The real church, the true church, is that which is in subjection to the Lord, to His headship. We won't be subject to a denomination. We'll be subject to the Lord Himself. Verse 23, which is His body, speaking about the church is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Ephesians is a very deep and interesting book.